Well, hello to all my wonderful partners and friends. Look who's with me today. Suzanne is here, and she's going to help me preach today. We're going to talk about visions and dreams, and Sue has a lot to talk about this. We're going to wait till you all come on, so tell your friends we have a surprise today. Her name is Suzanne, my wife. Hey, babe, here, why don't you, I'm going to give you the mics, and you hold them and talk a little bit, say hello, anything you want. There we go.
Hello, and I don't get to be with Benny all the time on Periscope, but it's good.
And Facebook. We're on Periscope and Facebook, YouTube, social media, everywhere. So we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about visions and dreams. Yeah, let me just hold that. We're going to talk about visions and dreams. And yesterday I began talking about dreams with the people, and Genesis 15:1 and Genesis 15:12 give us the difference. Genesis 15:1 says the Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision, and then Genesis 15:12, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And if you look at these two scriptures, we see in the by the way, isn't my wife beautiful? She's so gorgeous.
You definitely didn't prepare me that I was going on Periscope.
Well, yeah, I never told her she was coming. She said, well, I don't look good. I said, you look beautiful. She's with her jeans. I love it. Anyways, visions, and I want you to talk about this, but anyways, visions have to do with God himself, while dreams have to do with God's plans for our lives. And often the Lord will speak to us in dreams. I was telling the people yesterday how you and I would have, before our divorce, we would have these dreams of these tidal waves.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And you saw like furniture moved out of the house. And I did too. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea what it meant till that happened to us in 2010, 11, 12 were probably the worst years of our lives. And ever since we've been remarried, it's been marvelous. Thank God. Yeah.
Most of the time.
No perfect marriage, Sue. Watch how good it is. Come on, kid. We have a lovely time. Well, anyways, you know, people ask, where's Suzanne? Where's Suzanne? Well, she's sometimes in Florida, sometimes here with me. Then I go to Florida. We just go back, forth. And I travel so much, and she's busy a lot with the kids and her mom and
cooking.
Grandkids and cooking. She fixed me the best meal yesterday. And breakfast this morning was marvelous. My wife is one of the best cooks on earth. Anyways, and Tim said,
Amen,
because he's holding the phones. Anyways, but you had like before we had our problems, you had these dreams of these tidal waves that would come.
Yes, tsunamis.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was having too at the same time.
Yeah, when I had the one with the tsunami, actually, I had flown into England, to London, England, and I basically had told the staff, I said, I'm going to be in prayer and in the secret place and in worship the whole day, so please don't disturb me. And about 5:45 the next morning, the Lord literally I just sat up out of bed. And it was a vision. I mean, it was like I was a part of it, but I was seeing it happen.
And we didn't know what it meant. Well, maybe you did. I didn't know what it meant when I would have the same thing. And then Suzanne would see, and I would see furniture leaving our house. We didn't realize it was actually going to happen in real life. And so sometimes God will speak to us in dreams, I think, to warn us to stop something from happening, but we don't sometimes pay attention. And you think you want to say something quick?
Yeah, I'm just going to say something that just came, you know, to my thinking and my memory. How years ago, because obviously I'm 57, and especially
I'm 64 now, almost.
Especially women sometimes struggle with sleeping and different things like that. And one time I was in prayer and I was talking to the Lord and I said, Lord, why? Or I should say, the Lord actually said to me, why does Satan steal sleep from my children? And I said, I don't know, Lord. Maybe because, you know, Satan does that just to knock the tar out of us, I guess. And the Lord said to me, he said, no. He said, what happens when you go into a very deep sleep? And I said, you start having visions and dreams. And the Lord said to me, Satan steals sleep from my children because he doesn't want them to go into the deep realms of visions and dreams, which happens in the
And
deeper
how
realms
interesting,
of
maybe
sleep.
I was telling the people from Job. In fact, you know what? It'll be good to read this for them. In Job, you hold that, baby. It's good to read from Job because the Word of God talks about this. Job here, I'll hold this, and you go to the Job 33 for me, verse 12. Susanna's going to help me preach. I love it. By the way, many of you maybe don't know that my wife is a PK. That's a preacher's kid.
Third
Her
generation.
dad, huh?
Third generational
Third
preacher.
generation preacher's kid. And her daddy was one of the greatest Bible teachers that ever lived on
In the world.
earth. Roy Hardon was something else. Okay, verse 12.
Job, what?
Job 33, honey. Okay. And it talks about how the Lord sometimes will speak to us. 33, baby, here, right here. Okay, verse 12. Go ahead.
Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he has given not account
Yeah.
of any of
Yeah,
his matters.
I'll hold it.
For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a
There it
vision
is,
of
of
the
the
night,
night when
when
deep
deep
sleep
sleep falleth
falls
upon
upon men
men and
in
slumberings
slumberings.
upon the bed.
So it says so in the Bible very clearly that God speaks when we go into a deep sleep, and just what Suzanne was saying, and it's in the Bible. I just wanted to show you were actually talking scripture.
Another thing that happened too, you know, and again, there was nobody like Dr. Oral Roberts, just
Right,
as a
yeah.
spiritual father and just an amazing strength with
To me
Evelyn.
and to Suzanne, yeah.
But I can remember
Is the signal still ongoing? Okay, great.
being with them on a Sunday afternoon, and I was just not sleeping at all and having to take, you know, Ambiens and different things to just try to get any sleep, you know, or whatever to sleep. And so we were getting ready to leave, and we were walking through their kitchen, getting ready to exit the door. And you said to Brother Earl, you said, can you please pray for my wife? Because I was felt like I was going to have to go to the hospital with a breakdown because I really wasn't
Well,
sleeping,
because she wasn't
even with the
sleeping,
medications.
yeah.
And so you said to Earl, you said, would you lay hands on my wife and pray for her because, you know, she's not sleeping and she needs to sleep. And like, obviously, like Brother Earl did, he, you know, gets this real serious kind of look on his face. And I remember him just kind of leaning over me, over like a father, and laying hands on me. And I'm thinking,
When Oral became prophetic, he would become very serious, and he would almost stare at
He
you
would
and
kind of get
scare
that.
you.
He would get that kind of Indian
That,
look
yeah.
about him, you know, because he was part Indian, and he, you know, kind of got serious and was listening for the word of the Lord. And I'm thinking, wow, great, you know, if Oral Roberts lays hands on me, if he's going to say, oh, wow, you're going to go to bed and you're going to sleep 12 hours, 14 hours, or whatever. And he laid hands on me and was listening to what God was saying, and then basically said, and I wanted to say this to encourage you that are prophetic intercessors, or, you know, that just say, goodness gracious, I don't know what an 8 hour, 7 hour, straight hour sleep at night is like, which I don't either. But Oral laid hands on me and basically looked up and very serious, like Oral would do when he's really speaking the word of the Lord. And he would say, the Lord is saying this. He's saying that no, he's not going to allow you to sleep, you know, much and too long, but he's gonna allow the little bit of sleep that you get to go much deeper. And I said, well, Brother Oral, that's not the answer I was really looking for. But so I'm
Yeah,
just
she wanted to
encouraging,
sleep.
yeah,
Yeah.
I'm just encouraging you, especially you, the intercessors
Well,
that got.
is it like, you know, intercessors? Like even Miss Schumann, Catherine slept 4 hours a night.
Well, yeah,
That's all she slept.
and my mom, my grandmother was the same, you know,
When the
especially.
Lord, you know, when the Lord visited me, it's a little cold here. When the Lord visited me back in 73, I slept maybe 3 hours a night. For a whole year, and I felt like it was 8 hours. So sometimes when the Lord is visiting you, you don't sleep as much.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Especially when you're a prophetic intercessor or a seasoned intercessor, you know, the Lord wakes you up at the fourth watch, and it's usually between 3 and 6 in the morning or 2 and 6 in the morning.
So. Okay, now let's talk about, just let's finish up with dreams and then talk about visions, because we want to talk about visions today. Dreams, like I said, come to reveal God's plans for us. And God sometimes will speak to us in ways where we need really an interpreter to interpret what it means. Like example, you know, the butler baker, Joseph has to interpret what birds mean and baskets and stuff like that. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He doesn't know what it was. Daniel, the prophet, God reveals to him that he saw a big figure of gold and silver and clay and brass and iron and clay, and he interprets that. And then you have other portions of the Bible where dreams are given. With Gideon, he sees a big loaf of bread tumbling down a mountain, or someone sees it, then is talking about it, and he says, "Well, that is Gideon," and so on. So we need to ask the Lord, because sometimes we don't know what they mean. We need to ask the Lord, what does it all mean, Lord? And the Holy Spirit will reveal that. Some of it is in the Bible. Some is not in the Bible. Where, you know, you see like example with Joseph, or, you know, with Pharaoh, have 7 cows, healthy and 7 not healthy. And a cow is symbolic of a year in the Bible. Lions sometimes are symbolic of demonic powers, not always something good. And that's Job 28 that talks about verse 27, 28 over there that talks about that. Or sometimes all kinds of things people say. And sometimes people make things that don't really exist. So, you know, it's not good to go too far. Many times dreams are the result of your imagination, or sometimes you had too much spaghetti or something. Only God knows, you know. But so be careful not to go too far with it. Ask the Lord. And let me tell you this. I've seen 2 things in the Word, so you have to stick with the Bible. If you awake right after that, it's usually from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not always. Because it says Joseph awoke. Whenever you read about something where the Lord spoke like to Abraham in a dream and Abraham awoke, they wake up right after that, which means it's spiritual nature. The second thing you look at is it repeated over and over? If it is, it's spiritual nature. But if it happens one time and you don't know what on earth it's all about, just ignore it. But if it happens again and again and again, well, it's to pay attention. Now, visions. Can we just pray right now? Dear Jesus, Sue and I pray for the people that, Lord, you'll reveal to them when you speak to them, that they'll know what it's all about, Lord. And you speak to us in dreams and visions. We give you praise. Lord, I pray right now that you'll bless and anoint us as we minister to your people about visions for your glory. And God's people said, amen.
And cover everybody with
amen. Let's go,
the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name.
Amen. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men, dreams, old men, visions. Now, and I frankly believe also, and here, Sue, honey, let's go to... I'd like you, first of all, to read Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 5. Because whenever we have a vision, it is usually followed by a revelation of who we are.
And the Lord actually says in the Word to write the vision down. So I want to encourage
and
you.
And I'm gonna show them that.
To, you know, get a journal and pen and keep it beside your bed, because as much as we try to remember details, writing it down and everything helps to. Especially
okay,
if it's from the Lord.
Explain the difference. What is a vision to you?
A vision is almost like going to the movie theater and watching a movie, but you're a part of the action and you're actually, see, you know, seeing it happen, or you're involved in it in a yeah. way, is to me a
well
vision.
Now sometimes the Lord himself will appear, often he doesn't, but often he will give you a vision more real than yourself. Mm-hmm. I would have visions of myself when I was back, I was only 17, 18 years old. I would see myself in a white suit, literally preaching, and I thought my mind was, I was losing my mind, but that actually happened in my life. And these things were so real and the Bible calls them similitudes, where you see it. It's like watching TV or a movie, like Suzanne says. But there are also visions of the night, and visions of the night are very close to dreams.
And there's also open visions where you actually are not asleep, you're awake, and you're having open visions where you're literally seeing things, you know, like happening right in front of you.
No, exactly.
But you're
okay.
Not actually asleep.
Now, Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, baby. Go ahead.
In the year that King Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly.
I want to say something about this. Here you see a seraph, six wings, and four wings covered face and feet, and two wings he flew. You know, every time you see wings or flying in the Bible, it speaks of ministry. And wings that cover you speak of worship. So this clearly states that worship is double as important as service.
Yeah. And the Lord said he'll cover us with his feathers.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Four wings covering meaning worship, and two wings flying meaning service. Worship is double as important.
And worship actually is entering into the holies of holies.
Yeah. So Enos, go ahead.
And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
The whole earth is filled of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Now read verse 5.
Then said I, Woe is me.
Yeah, now let's stop here. Here he sees the Lord in a vision, but who is it really revealing besides the Lord is himself? He said, I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So visions usually change you as they changed Isaiah. So God doesn't give us a vision. Hey, hold that, baby. God doesn't give us visions only to reveal himself. He gives us visions to reveal us to us. You know, remember when the Lord called him, he said, and he fell and said, you know, I'm a sinner. And he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So God always, and Paul, same thing happened to Paul. Every man that ever saw the Lord saw also his filth, mm-hmm. his own nothingness. Mm-hmm. So now, Ezekiel here, in Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 3, when he saw the Lord, he was astonished with awe. So visions, and this is Ezekiel 1, verse 3, verse 4, Ezekiel 3, verse 15. Visions leave you with an awe, with reverence. You'll never see the Lord ever again in the same light when you have a vision.
Well, you realize how finite
we are.
That we are, and how infinite and how holy. And when you come into that place in your life with the Lord, you can no longer think of him as your buddy, your best friend, you know, I mean, that kind of, just kind of...
Well, that's what I said. It just leaves you with an awe,
you have
astonishment.
That reverence, and you have the fear of the Lord and the beauty of his holiness.
I've seen the Lord in my lifetime when I was a little boy. I was 11. Mm-hmm. The second time I saw him was the day I was saved. Mm-hmm. The third time I saw him is the day my brother Willie was saved. Mm-hmm. I never forget that. The fourth time I saw the Lord was in South Africa, mm-hmm. when I saw him weeping. Mm-hmm. And I've had two other amazing experiences as recently as only weeks ago with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, every time it changed my life. Because you don't stay the same. But I've had visions also of other things in my life, about my own future and family and so on.
But, you know, that's why two people need to realize where the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because a lot of times when people say, I'm seeking an experience, I'm seeking a vision, I'm seeking a dream, then Satan...
No, don't seek it. Don't seek those things.
You don't seek those things.
You seek the Lord.
Because
exactly.
Satan will give you, you know, people might hear, you know, that Benny's seen angels. He's, you know, I've seen angels.
We can't deny that.
But on the other hand, on the other side, we've also seen the demonic realm too. And
absolutely.
So that's why you need to just seek Him in that place
when
of
you
prayer,
when you
worship.
Begin to see in the realm of the spirit, you'll see both worlds.
Yeah, and so you need
to
be
it's never
careful,
just one.
Yeah, that you're not. I can remember having a women's meeting. I think I was 26 in OCC, and you know, all these women were all excited, saying, "Oh, we want to see the Lord. We want to see the Lord." And so I happened to say to them, how many, if I told you there was angels behind that door, would run to see an angel? Well, all the women, you know, raised their hand all excited. I said, okay, how many, if I told you there were demons behind that door, would be running to see the demons? And I said, so that's why, again, you seek first God and you seek His kingdom and worship and in that place and don't seek,
absolutely,
again, visions, dreams, or experiences or encounters, because Satan says, well, I'll give it to you. And you know,
we want the real
that.
Thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But with a vision, you always pray for the interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Like Daniel 7:1 and 7:8 talks about that when Daniel had a vision, he always asked the Lord, what does it mean? And an angel had to come and interpret what he saw. So visions cannot be really understood till we pray, what is that vision? Why did I see it? What's the purpose?
Yeah, and I know in my own life, when I have seen, you know, had dreams or especially visions, it's usually after being in prayer all day long or being up at night, you know, 2-3 in the morning for hours on end, and then maybe laying back down for another hour and a half. And it's during usually that time right after being in the secret place in communion, in that place in the Word with God in prayer, that God takes me anyway into those places.
All right, now let's read Habakkuk chapter 2. And you were talking about this earlier, that here's what begins. If you want God to give you a vision, here's what you have to do. Okay, we're going to show you that, pray with you, and then say bye. But Habakkuk, baby. Chapter 2. No, it's back. Habakkuk is a little further back. Habakkuk is back. It's before Micah. Here, hold this. I'll get it.
I'm used to my Bible.
Hold that. I'll get it here. My wife is very, very, very funny, and she is one of those wonderful people. Okay, now, chapter 2. Here, baby. Okay, read me verse. Let me have. All right. Read me verse. Well, begin reading at verse 1.
I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer
okay,
when I am reproved.
Read from verse 1 right through verse 3. Okay.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Okay. Now, a few things I want to say about a vision that are important. Number one, and I want you to write down. Okay, would you read verse 1 again?
I will stand upon my watch.
Okay, stop. What does that mean? I will pray. I will stand upon my watch. Visions begin with prayer. If you want God to give you a vision, be a man or a woman of prayer. Visions do not come to the prayerless. So it says clearly, I will stand upon my watch. That is a man of prayer. So the reason you've had visions, because you pray all the time. Sue gets up at sometimes 3 and 4 in the morning just to pray. So visions do not belong to a prayerless man or woman. That's not number one. Okay. Just keep finishing that.
But, you know, like he said, yes, I do get up a lot, you know, 3 and 4 in the morning, but if you find that the Lord sovereignly just wakes you up out of a deep sleep, then it's usually because the Lord is putting within you something that's burning on God's heart or something that's touching God's heart that he needs you to stand in the gap and intercede
Exactly.
for him
Okay, now
in that place.
finish verse one, babe. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower. Go ahead.
And will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer
Okay,
when I am
now
reproved.
here's the other thing that happened. Visions belong to people that watch, it says, see that? But I will also watch what he will say to me. In other words, people, visions belong to people who are accustomed to God's voice. And God's voice is not heard without worship. Because remember, Psalm 95 says what? It says worship, and then it says today if you'll hear my voice.
A lot of times too.
Here, let me show them. Here, you hold the mic and talk while I read that for them.
A lot of times too, just like especially if you're married or if maybe you're going to get married, and you know that your husband's coming home, so you light the candles and you set the atmosphere for the person that you love, whether it's your children, your husband coming home. I believe, like Tommy Tenney says, you know, that it's the same with the Lord. And so a lot of times, I would leave worship on like all night long, knowing
on tape,
because I knew exactly that the Lord was in a certain chair waiting for me when I would come down 2 or 3 in the morning.
Well, worship is key to hearing God's voice. Listen to what it says. It says, this is Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, watch this. Today, if you'll hear what? His voice. So the voice of God always follows worship every time in the Bible. So in Habakkuk, it says very clearly, I'm going to listen to what he says. Well, you can't hear him without worship. So visions belong to people who pray and worship.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's keep going because I like it to read. You have a lovely voice. Okay, verse 2. Go ahead, Don.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision.
Wait, go ahead.
And make it plain upon tables.
Okay. So the second thing here that the Bible says, it's very, that you have to make it plain. Because as long as a vision is cloudy, it's not God. So read that verse again.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables.
But wait, how do I make a vision plain? By waiting upon the Lord. He says this, read the email. And the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. Whenever you see tables mentioned in the Bible, it talks about waiting. Write it upon tables, meaning he's got to be sitting somewhere. Mm-hmm. Sitting at the table. Sitting waiting. So when I read this verse, I see that I have to wait. It says write it, and then it says the table. Well, that means you there's a period before it becomes clear. So you got prayer, you have worship, and you have waiting upon the Lord. That clears the fog. That makes it plain.
And the word, getting into the word.
Well, but wait. That has a lot to do with waiting.
Well, yeah.
When I wait upon the Lord, like Jean Guyon used to say in her books, she would sit and read the Bible while she was waiting. Mm-hmm. All right, now, then it says, well, once you finish verse 2, wait. Verse 2, right here.
That he may run that readeth it.
Okay. Act. You have to act. You have to take a step of faith. So visions belong to people of faith, people that act. So you have prayer, you have worship, you have waiting, and you have faith. You can't have a vision from God without that. But we're not done yet. Listen to what it says here. Verse 3.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it
Wait,
shall
okay.
speak.
Fine. So here's the fifth thing that the Bible says. Don't force it. Let God do it. It says, let God fulfill it in His time. One more time, Sue, verse 3.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Yeah.
It's like almost like when women, when you're pregnant with a child, especially the last, 4, 6 weeks,
Only heaven will
they're
birth it,
really
yeah.
ready to, you think you're ready to have that baby, but if the baby comes too early, the baby's premature. So God knows the timing that that vision needs to be
So,
birthed and come
and that's
forth.
why we have to wait. So let the Lord do it. Don't force it upon Him. Do not force His hand
It's got to
to
be
give
His
it to you.
timing, not our timing.
You got it. And that's what this is all about. So you got prayer, you have worship, waiting, faith, and then let it be His time,
Absolutely.
not our time. And God will do it. And the powerful, now, just finish reading verse 3 one more time for the vision.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak.
Wait, okay. Visions never happen early. Visions usually come to people as they get older in life, as they get closer to the finish line, is where visions really come. What does it say? Young man will do what?
See dreams.
Dream dreams, and old man will what? See
See
visions.
visions.
Because visions don't really belong to the young.
And young does not mean
No,
necessarily
young doesn't mean
young age.
age.
It means as
Young
far
in
as
the
young
spirit.
in the Lord and yeah,
Exactly. So
in that
visions,
depth.
as it says at the end, so visions come in life, later in life, as you mature in the spirit. So they don't belong to the immature. So how do we mature in this in the spirit? The word. Finish, baby. Verse 3 again.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait
Stop.
for it.
Okay. The second thing now, or the next thing that it says, is sometimes visions may take years before they're understood or before they even happen to you. So that's what? Patience. Visions don't happen without that. I mean, I'm giving you what the Bible says about visions. It's not my own opinion. And then let's finish it and then find it.
Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Some people literally have had a vision or
But
word.
I want to say something.
Okay.
When to finish and
Have
then I'll
had a
say.
word from the Lord maybe 20, 30 years ago that you haven't seen to come to pass. And I know probably 20 something years ago, the Lord said to me that a lot of times we think that maybe there's been a miscarriage in the spirit or an abortion, but it just takes, again, being in that place with God and the Holy
Don't
Spirit,
miss don't miss what Suzanne said about.
breathing afresh on that seed that's
Yeah.
within you. You are still pregnant with that seed. It just takes that fresh breath, and that's why through worship, through the word, through prayer for that in that solitude, that secret place that you tap back into and allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to bring you back into. The Spirit of God will again breathe, and you will see that it has not been aborted, and God will bring forth even things that he told you 20, 30, 40 years ago, because what's basically is starting to happen, especially because we are so in end times, that the Lord told me years ago, those things that took 20, 30 years to birth, we're going to start seeing it, in months. Things that took months are going to be weeks. Things that are taking weeks are going to take minutes and seconds. But as you allow yourself to, for the Lord to possess your whole being, and you can be possessed by
Fill
the
you.
Well, though you if people can be possessed by the devil, they surely can be possessed if they allow
Well,
themselves.
no.
That's the word.
I'm gonna correct you here.
Okay.
The Bible, as my darling wife, the Bible never uses the word possess when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It's filling.
Well,
So
yeah,
we're
but
filled.
yeah.
Because see, a possession is control, while filling is our willingness to be filled. And
But
Suzanne knows.
it's a
Yeah.
surrender, and it's basically,
Ah,
yeah, it's a
give me five.
surrender.
Yeah.
But
As long as we speak, because the devil pushes, the enemy will not wait for our surrender while the Holy Spirit does. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But what Suzanne is really saying is really lovely, in that we can be filled.
Totally.
no different than alcohol. You know, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. If alcohol can control people, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to him. He's not going to force himself on you. But anyways, the final thing is it's going to come. That means nothing happens except to fulfill God's purpose.
Absolutely.
So visions don't come so we can have picnics with him. So we can have a party. Visions come to fulfill his purpose. Simple.
And it's a life, too, not just of surrender, but total obedience as
Absolutely.
You go deeper into that place.
So we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God for you. Here, let's put the Bible there, babe. We're going to pray together as husband and wife for you as our partners and friends. And you go first, and then I'll pray. Come on.
Lord, we just praise you. Because you said in your word, where two or three agree as touching anything, it will be done. And Lord, you said one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. And Lord, we know that there's more than that that are watching through Periscope, Lord.
And Facebook, Lord.
And Facebook, Twitter, what it...
Just talk to the Lord.
But Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in agreement with our brothers and sisters
Amen.
That are watching today, Lord, and we thank you that
for
as
the
a
needs
result
to be met, Lord,
of
in
them
Jesus
literally
name.
Saying, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to shake out and do whatever is necessary to make me a vessel pure and holy in that place, Lord, that you can use me to intercede and allow dreams and visions that need to be birthed on this earth, that you are allowing me as your covenant child that is in covenant with you to be used this way. Lord, I thank you that even now, Lord, that you are blowing afresh. You are blowing afresh. You are blowing afresh on that seed, Lord. And just like we need oxygen to in the natural for our lungs to expand, Lord, we thank you that you are our oxygen. You are our life, that we are in you and you are in us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that the same power that raised you from the dead is within each and every one of your children
in
when
Jesus.
We ask you to be in covenant and we allow ourselves to be in covenant with
Amen.
You, Lord.
In Jesus' name, and Lord, we agree, Sue and I, that every need be met in the people's lives, whether the need is spiritual, whether the need is emotional, physical, or financial, in the name of Jesus, meet every need in their life today. For your glory and honor, and God's people said, Amen and Amen. What did you mean by blowing on the seed in your prayer?
Well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, God places...
like a vision in us.
A vision, or gives us a prophetic word, or somebody gives you a prophetic word in church or in a meeting.
Well, the Lord wants to breathe.
Yeah, and we don't see it happen for 30, 40 years, so we just think, well, I know God told me, but I guess it's not going to happen. But again, it's still that seed is still within you. But sometimes it just takes the Spirit of God, again, blowing afresh when you surrender and you come to that place where you just say, okay, Lord, you know, not my will, but I'm allowing my body to be used for Amen. Your purposes in the earth.
Well, would you please tell Suzanne you want to see more of her, please? And anyways, why don't you hold that? And I'm going to go to my phone, which is here. And all of you, just hold them, all of you that need prayer from Sue and I want you to send your prayer requests now to us. We'll be saying goodbye in a few minutes. PastorBen@BennyHinn.org. PastorBen@BennyHinn.org is for prayer requests. But if I'm done teaching on dreams and visions, if you want my notes, because I didn't, you know, there was no way I could give you everything, you can ask for my notes if you're a partner, or if you belong to Partner Connect, we'll send those to you. And Partner Connect begins, by the way, August 1. So we'll let you know more about that. But all partners of the ministry can receive my notes for free. And if you're not a partner, well, let us know and join Partner Connect. That's all. It's online. Just go to PartnerConnect@BennyHinn.org. That's PartnerConnect@BennyHinn.org. And many of you pastors, we have one for pastors. Just for Pastors Connect at BennyHinn.org. And the prayer requests are coming right now, Sue. Mm-hmm. Salvation for my husband, from Pearline.
Can I just say something
yeah,
to
of
encourage
course you?
You
can.
Because again, In the Bible, when you read things, even when
hold it closer down,
you will find that as you allow yourself and take time to go into that against secret place and come into that place of worship and everything, God always dealt with the person or with the parents before He dealt with the children. So you will find that as you
Say that again.
God, in the Bible, God always would usually deal with the parents. A lot of times we want to say, take care of our husband, or salvation for my husband, or deliverance for my children. They're on drugs or alcohol. But you will find that in the Bible, God usually dealt with the parents first, and then...
Well, like the Lord in Matthew, when the little boy was demon-possessed, God dealt with the father's faith, yeah.
I remember my mom ministering deliverance to a friend of mine when they were pastoring.
So, wait, somebody said, oh my God, Pastor Benny, I didn't know who the woman was. you were sitting so close to, so I was wondering what would Suzanne think. Mm-hmm. No, that's Suzanne, guys. Please. That's my wife, for goodness sake. Then it made my heart glad when I heard you call her name. She looks different with light hair. Okay, thank you. No, I would not do this to any woman besides my wife. Are you kidding? She'd kill me.
I would. But again, my mom was ministering deliverance to a friend of mine, Lois Gazelle, and her daughter had epilepsy, and my mom said to her, once we've taken you through deliverance, you're going to find that your daughter is set free from her epilepsy.
Now, see what Brenda Wissinger says. Brenda says she needs to be more visible. Love her teaching. Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. Please tell her more of that. Sharon Miguel. Please pray for my marriage restoration. So, you know what? We need to do that right now. Mm-hmm. So many of you. Dear anointed woman of God. Yeah, well, she is anointed from Naomi. A lot of you are just sending some sweet emails. Joel McDonald says, I have a relative who needs surgery. He has 4 blockages, open heart surgery. Okay, we're going to pray right now. And Dwayne Hurd says, pray for me. Okay, Dwayne, we're going to pray for you right now. Dwayne is a wonderful young man. He sends us a lot of email messages. And Judith Higgins, you and Sue, love hearing your wife's views, but sometimes isn't able to finish her thoughts completely without being interrupted. Judith, are you telling me that I interrupt her so she can't finish her thoughts? Fine, okay, darling. Judith, I'd like to meet you because I get a lot of emails from you. Okay, you want to finish? I promise you I won't do it again. Okay. People are funny. If you think I was interrupting her, well, that's just the way it is with husbands and wives sometimes. All right. A lot of them are still sending their prayer requests. Again, that's Pastor Benny at BennyHinn.org. Pastor Benny at BennyHinn.org. Doris Chi says, please pray for my family from Malaysia. Oh, wow. Almost a year they have not talked and met each other. Wow. Okay, dear. And Belinda, my relationship and salvation of my husband, we will do that right now. And Julie Wing, deeper revelation, anointing from the Lord. It says, please help, please agree. My children will be saved, delivered, and set free. Okay, dear, we will do that too.
A lot of times, you know, when our children were going through different little stages in their life, when they would be in school or maybe staying at a friend's house, I would have worship on, and I would actually go and lay on their bed and have my time with the Lord in their room. Obviously, don't do that when they're going to walk through the door, but because you've got to, you know, kind of protect their privacy too. But just, you know, pray over a nightie or a shirt or whatever, and when you're in that place with God, and then lay it on their bed as a little gift and everything.
A sweet lady, Lori Moore, one of our partners, Please pray for me. I'm challenged with rheumatoid arthritis. Lord, we pray right now for everyone who is sick in body. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that sickness. We command that pain to go out of glory, Lord, that arthritis will leave her now in Jesus' name. Lord, heal your sweet people in the name of Jesus. Bring healing and health for your glory and honor. Receive your healing today. Lori, the Lord loves you, dear, okay? The salvation of my children, nieces, nephews, so many of them are. Catherine, Packler, yes, please pray for my healing and vision. It said, stop interrupting each other. Love you, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. You're sweet. You know, we just love each other. We just, that's just the way we are. Your wife is so sweet. Okay, thank you for that. All right. Anyways, you sweet, sweet people. All right. Here one that says, all right, dear, I'm reading Mary Elizabeth Godwin's email. I'll do that for you. Thank you. And I will read it for sure. She knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, a lot of sweet people are just sending their prayer requests and their email. And if you want to join Partner Connect, we will certainly respond to you. And hey, listen, we're not perfect. And sometimes we get so many messages from you, sweet partners, and from Elizabeth Godwin, dear, bless you. I'm going to read your email, okay? And I didn't say that, dear. It was the guy that was with me that said that. I think you know what I'm talking about. But I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think you're a sweetheart. Okay. From Zimbabwe, please pray for our church. We will. In fact, let's just, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Every need be met for your glory and honor. Touch your sweet people in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen and amen. And I will be getting, I'm going to get hold of dear Elizabeth. Maybe you can send me your number, dear, so I can call you, okay? Shalom to all of you. You have a blessed day. And we will see you tomorrow's Friday. Suzanne is flying out. But maybe next week sometimes. Okay. Love you all. Bye-bye. Okay, poor Elizabeth.